Hello, and welcome back to Hip to Be a Square podcast, your place for things quilty and geeky. Today is sometime in August, but really I'm more concerned with the fact that my microphone is being weird and not staying upright. So apologies if you have just heard some clicking noises. That was me trying to futz with it, you know. And I'm only 30 seconds into this shindig, so I could have just stopped it and started recording again. But no, guys, it's real life. So here you go. It's me being real. It is the end of the first week of school for my kids. They went back on Tuesday. And yep, that sure is early. It feels early to them. It felt fine to me. I'm used to us starting at the beginning of August. But the start of school means that now my regular commute schedule is 3 days a week in the office. And I did that this week. That's pretty much all I can say about that. It's taking some adjustment. And adjustment how? Like, I'm just in the car more, and I'm not used to being in the car. I don't like being in the car. I just don't. I don't like being stuck in a car. And I'm moving most of the time, but I'm going the back way, so it's not like I'm zipping down the interstate and getting there in a timely fashion. It's just frustrating. So I'm trying to get used to that. And I'm not sure what happened from last week to this week. Last week, I felt super awesome. Like, I got this. I'm on top of things. I'm organized. I have a spreadsheet of all the color-coded folders and notebooks and everything that my kids need to start school, and I'm checking things off lists, and it's going great. And this week, it just all... my brain came to a screeching halt and said, you know what? You don't got this. You're also a horrible person, and you should probably just go lay on the couch and cry a lot. So, and there's not... I'm trying to figure out, like, was there one precipitating event that caused this shift in mood? And I can't point to any one thing. There's been a bunch of little things this week. So nervous because I sent my kids to the bus stop at the right time. They got on the bus fine. And then I realized, I don't think I told my daughter what her bus number is for her to get back on to come home. It's her first time at a new school. So, and she's smart. Ideally, she's smart enough to, like, look at the bus when she gets on it and says, oh, that must be my bus number. Also, her older brother is there, and he texted me to ask me what the bus number was and all these details. And I'm like, well, I know I told him, but is he communicating with her? So that made me anxious. Like, gosh, I hope my kid makes it home from school on the first day. So that went fine. She did come home. But there's, like, all the paperwork to sign and fill out in the panic of, what if I forget one piece of paper and then my child will never get a locker and I've clearly ruined their entire middle school experience. Well, I was very methodical about checking things off lists, and here's this form signed and you sign here and all this other good stuff. Send it all back. Thursday, my daughter announces that I forgot a piece of paper, and I'm like, I don't know what I could have forgotten. Here is the thing that I checked off and all the things I sent to you to give to your teacher. So I don't know what happened. So... you know, just sitting here being a horrible mom, apparently. On top of that, Jet had a checkup last week. So all my cats are 5. So they are firmly adults and not yet elderly. For cats, they're considered kind of elderly once they hit 7. And he had some elevated liver levels last year. That seems to be okay now. But he's got some early indicators of kidney disease. And apparently he also had a urinary tract infection or something. So UTI is easy enough to take care of. We had the choice between take him in to get one shot that's slow release or try and give him a pill twice a day for 2 weeks. And I thought, there's an $8 price difference. Like, it's worth $8 not to pill a cat 14 times. In case anyone out there is doing math. So, but it's just like, oh... I hate to hear that he's, you know, at age 5 already having these early indicators. And we kind of knew with Jed because of his other respiratory issues and his eye issue that, you know, there may be more wrong with him that you just don't find out till later. But that's kind of a bummer. And it's not a bummer just for him, but also because Morelli is so attached to him. And so if something happens to Jed, like, Morelli is just going to be devastated. And so now I'm worrying about future state of my cats, because that's how my brain works. Oh, and then we've also had fun discussions this week. My parents decided to update their will just to keep stuff in order because, you know, good housekeeping. Hope you all are doing that, particularly if you're married and especially if you have kids. Said the person that hasn't updated hers in a while. So anyway, we've my sister and I have been tasked with, like, oh, give mom the list of stuff we want when they die. And, you know, it solves a lot of problems to get this stuff sorted out ahead of time. And it's not as if my sister and I are contentious in this process. And honestly, the things that she says she wants are completely not the things that I've said that I want. And so it's all working out great. And it's been, you know, fine. But it's still, I think my brain is still, like, morbid, in a morbid place because of it. But it's been funny, honestly, because one of us will randomly think of some other weird thing tied to a strong childhood memory, and we'll just throw that out. Like, oh, who wants this thing that we found in the trash and got from mom? So for context, the thing that I want, and honestly, I have said that I wanted for years now, my grandfather, so my dad's dad, did some woodworking and some carving. And I have a number of things that he's made specifically for me. But he made something for my parents, but he never replicated it again. And it's this, I call it the Fat Santa. And it's only about, gosh, 6 inches high. And it's like a silhouette cutout of a Santa, but it's chunky, so it's got some depth to it. It's like the regular figurines that he cut and painted for us are probably made from a 1x board. So they're about 3/4 inch thick. Well, this fat Santa is like 2-3 inches thick. So I just call it Fat Santa, and I just think it's adorable. And I was, that would be like the one thing. If I only got to pick one thing, it would be Fat Santa. And then, of course, you know, you add in quilts that I've made them. I would like those back. Not that I wouldn't, of course, offer them to my sister for her or her kids. But, you know, if I made them, I want first dibs. Sorry about that. Phone rang. And I'll get to why the phone rang in just a minute. It's another crappy thing that happened this week. So anyway, dibs on Fat Santa, dibs on quilts. There's my mom got an antique treadle sewing machine that's in the dining room. It doesn't work, but I got a guy. Well, it's actually a gal that could totally make it work. And my sister was like, whatever, good luck with that. So, you know, there's kind of various things that we've sorted it out, and it's been entirely pleasant. It's all over email. And then there's a couple things that we haven't gotten into. Like, so my dad is retired Air Force, and he's got a nice shadow box of ribbons and patches and, you know, all of his insignia from his uniform. And it's kind of like, well, who wants that? And if my sister wants it, she can absolutely have it. But if she doesn't, I'll take it. So it's stuff like that we're still sorting out. And then randomly last night, I remembered this sculpture of a raccoon that looks like a little sleeping raccoon curled up. It's about, it's fairly life-size. Like, it's raccoon-sized, but it's just a little thing that sits on the floor, and it looks like a sleeping raccoon. And inevitably, people that walk in the house the first time and see it are like, oh my God, you have a raccoon in your house. We're like, no, it's fake. So we got this thing because the first house we lived at in Virginia, we lived on a cul-de-sac, and my mom and my sister and I, we were either driving or went for a walk or something. And our neighbors had put this pile of stuff out on the curb, like, hey, trash people, come take this trash away. And this raccoon was one of those things. And my mom was like, you could just see the double take of like, girls, we got to go get that. So we, you know, went and got this raccoon sculpture out of the neighbor's trash, you know, wiped it off, cleaned it up, put it in her house, been with my parents ever since, you know, gosh, and this was 35 years ago. So last night I remember, like, who's going to get the trash raccoon? So we've been trying to figure that out, you know, plus the big sculpture of the bull that my dad got when he retired a couple years ago. And you'd think, okay, big sculpture of a bull, but like, it's a big sculpture of a bull. It's like 2 feet long and a foot tall, and it's got, well, let's just say it is anatomically correct at the rear. And so my sister and I are figuring out, like, what do we do with the bull? So my sister said she'd take the bull. Okay. She's like, maybe that could be Dad's urn. And then my mom's like, no, we're being buried at Arlington, which is the National Military Cemetery here in the United States. And I was like, dang it, I thought we got to go sprinkle you in Hawaii. So we are trying to make this less morbid, but I think somehow my brain is still like, no, this is going to be a horrible thing when it happens. But yeah, so we've been doing that. Okay, so the reason for the phone call just now, there was one bad thing that happened this week. My credit card got stolen. Not the physical card, of course, just the numbers. Discovered that yesterday, and really I think it started being used for nefarious purposes on Monday. So it's only about 36 hours worth of crappy charges, but enough that it's like, oh gosh, you know, people are just going bananas with this, and it's all over the country. So there's spots in Texas, and it's being used in Illinois, like, it just, it's all over the place. So that's kind of a pain to deal with. And I have to wait for the report to come back of like all the final charges that may or may not go through, sort out the things that I actually was using it for. So let those go through, file a police report. And so that's just a pain in the butt. But we had just renewed the car tags, and to do that online, you have to use a credit card. So now I have to see. So all the tags expire tomorrow. Happy birthday to my husband. They all expire on his birthday. And so I have to call and see if those charges went through, or we have to go to the tag office and pay them in person. So that's just a pain in the butt. So that was my husband calling to see if he needed to go. So when I'm done with the podcast, I will go take care of that. So guys, it's not been a fabulous week here, but I'm thinking about the trash raccoon really picked me up. I gotta be honest. That made me laugh last night. I just sat there and laughing so hard that I cried, and my husband walked in and knew that I had just randomly cried throughout the week over work stuff. And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm just crying about a trash raccoon. So I got that going for me. Alrighty, let's go through some feedback, talk about some actual sewing that's been happening, because there has been some highlights and some progress being made. So, my last episode, 309, and I was talking about scrap quilting and some book reviews, so no comments there, but thank you guys for listening. Oh, so here's the deal with comments. I love them, but I totally get why you don't write them, because I know from talking to people that listen to podcasts and from listening to podcasts myself, I randomly yell things out while listening. By the way, that goes over great in the office. And so, in fact, in my head, I have commented, but it didn't actually make it to the person. So thanks for commenting in your head, because I know that's a thing. So on Sunday Stash, or Smunday Stash, because I have not been good about sticking to my schedule, I finished just a little few things the previous week, and it was the assortment of stuff. I called it the travel accessories assortment that went for the bowling fundraiser for Good Muse, the cat shelter that I volunteer for. Oh, guys, and I got fired from a job at Good Muse. So how about that? Mostly they just reformatted the newsletter and don't need the column that I wrote anymore. And it was like, well, that's actually kind of a relief. So, whew, good. But I think that's legit the first time I've been fired from something. So anyway, yes, so zipper pouch, trinket box, luggage tag, all that good stuff. And so that went up for raffle. And I've got a friend that I met through the shelter that puts all of her raffle tickets, well, a good bit of her raffle tickets in for whatever I make every year at this fundraiser. And she moved away to California. And she hasn't actually won the last couple years, but she won this year. So I'm excited for her to win the thing. And this fabric is awesome because it's just got all these surly looking cats. Like, these cats, totally my spirit animal. They've all got the RBF, and it's on brand. So I had also showed the picture of the giant quilt that I was basting, and that was most of what I was sewing, not this week, but the previous week, because I would I would quilt with a different color of thread every day or every night, honestly, because, you know, I was working during the day. And I was like, oh, this is taking forever. But that's what I was quilting while I was watching Ozark. So Ozark is a series that just came out on Netflix on July 21st. And it's got Jason Bateman and Laura Linney and a bunch of other actors that I don't know the names of, but I totally recognize. And I was excited when it came out because it is filmed around the corner from my house. So we live close to Lake Allatoona here in Georgia, and the movie prop. So they bought this old restaurant that really was not great. We ate there once and we're like, well, don't need to do this again. It was not good. So the Blue Cat Lodge in that series is around the corner from my house. So guys, please don't be creepy and look that up and then come stalk me at my house. I'm just saying. But it's exciting because you kind of walk by and you're like, oh, maybe I'll run into Jason Bateman at the grocery store. Never did that, by the way. More likely to run into movie stars at the outlet malls, which are close to here, than the grocery store. Just a fair warning. Like, we run into, or we hear reports of people running into, like, Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead at the outlet mall all the time. So I don't know, like, why he needs to do so much shopping, but bless his heart. Anyway, so I quilted this while watching Ozark. So I have this affiliation in my head now between quilting this giant cat and Jason Bateman and money laundering. It all ties together. So what this quilt is, it's this kit from Moda, and Erin Michaels is the designer, the fabric designer, and then she also designed the giant digitally printed cat that goes on there too. So it's a couple random blocks, and this giant cat gets appliqued on top of the quilt center. And I extended the size of it a bit more so it would be a double quilt. So I know that bed-size quilts go for more at auction. And this is, again, for Good Muse, than the lap-size quilt, just because people see that as more usable. Like, oh, it's on a bed. It's a legitimate thing instead of, here's a random blanket in my living room. So I do need to get with Lynn to get it appraised. And that also helps establish it as a valuable handmade item rather than, oh, a blanket, $20 from Walmart. Thanks. So anyway, I kind of attacked this by doing one thread color for each major grouping on this cat. So I think I used like cream, light gray, dark gray, tan, and dark brown. So that was 5 nights of quilting right there. That was a lot of quilting. And then for the actual background and the blocks, those got some different treatments. I think I used a yellow and a light aqua and maybe a third color that I now can't remember. I don't know. So there you go. But it took forever because I did it all on my Sweet 16. So this is the biggest quilt I've done on my Sweet 16. It wasn't bad. Same kind of struggles that I have when I quilt on a regular domestic of just smooshing and scrunching. That part wasn't the problem. It was more the drag of the quilt when it hangs over the side and getting the freedom of motion that I need. And I don't know what else to do to solve that problem because I've already got the extender table on the left side on my Sweet 16. I don't have it on the right, but I also don't have room to put it on the right. I do have the arms, like the dog grooming arms that Katie tipped me off to from Katie's Quilting Corner that have the clips on it that kind of hold up the quilt so it doesn't drag. And that helps, but, you know, it is what it is. If it's a giant quilt, it's just going to weigh a lot. So that's what I spent most of last week quilting, and then I finished it Sunday. I got it bound. I have to put the label on it still, but it is pretty much washed and ready to go. I probably should make a case for it just because that usually is a nice little finishing touch. So I'll see what fabric I've got that won't be hideously clashing for that. So, you know, kind of minor progress from that week back on Sunday Stash. So Jay said that the cat quilt scares her a little bit. I can totally see why, because it is a giant cat. It's about the size of a third grader. An average third grader. I haven't had an average third grader in a while. If ever. Because my daughter's super tall. But yeah, creepy eyes staring at you. Totally get that. So, the next post after that was episode 223 of the Stitch TV show. So, if you have not already done so, guys, go enter the giveaway for the Paloma fabric bundle. And I will put the link to that in the show notes. But it is 6 fat quarters of Paloma fabric from June B, or by June B for Ink and Arrow Fabrics, who's been our sponsor for this run of episodes for the Stitch. Plus a yard of kind of a hot pink pixie dots. So there's a raffle copter entry form over on thestitchtvshow.com for that episode. But again, I'll link to it in these show notes. And that closes August 9th at midnight. So there's 4.5 more days to go enter if you're listening over the weekend. So thank you, Noni, for the comment. Our goal is to save people from total boredom at their sewing machine. Or, well, not at the sewing machine. And thank you, everyone, that's purchased one of the Emilio quilt patterns. We've got a couple different versions that we've shown over on the Stitch TV show site. And I should probably link to that over here because, you know, I made all those samples. So they're my finished samples. So I will plop all those in a blog post so you guys can see if you're not regularly visiting the Stitch site. So that brings me to the Sunday stash post where I finished the Meow or Never quilt. So that was a big old honking quilt. And I've got another layout picture from another donation quilt that I've been working on. So as I've been cleaning out my sewing room, I've kind of been on a kick lately of just cleaning stuff out. Like, I have too much stuff in this house. And it's not just me. So my kids are in middle school. They're not doing a ton with toys. Neither do I want to just go and wholesale sweep everything into a big donation bin and chuck it. Although that is very tempting. We just had a large pickup from one of the charitable organizations that will come by and pick things up. And I had like a giant pile out there for them. And I'm like, ooh, we're coming up with another giant pile already. So there may be another trip to Goodwill in the future. So yes, cleaning things out. It's going pretty good. Feeling light and fluffy as a result. Still got a ways to go, I think. Yeah. Oh, and new roof. Working on that too, which no leaks or anything, but we've just had a number of storms here and our roof is 20 years old, so that's not going to be cheap. And we also need new gutters. And there's some soffit damage, and yeah, the house is 20 years old, so there's stuff that has to be done. Anyway, before I digress and just, let's talk about sewing instead. So my focus the last couple weeks has been on, there's been a respite in pattern writing, because we were waiting on some things to get approved and finalized, so I've been focusing on the charitable donation quilts, since August is our big kind of community service meeting. So I want to make sure I've got a number of things there to donate. So I've got the transparency quilt that I finished a few weeks ago. I have another one that I just quilted that's made with the final leftovers from Sparkling Gems, which are the little buffalo bits. The one that I showed the picture of in Sunday Stash from this past week is leftover bits from a quilt I made for Good Muse 4 years ago, the little gray pinwheels and four patches, and then I just paired it with 3.5-inch squares kind of set to be the right size up to a 6-inch finished block. So I just pulled out random blues and greens and teals and aquas for that. So that'll make a decent size lap quilt as well. That one still needs to be pieced. And I think I've got another one that I need to piece. But that's just going to be all kinds of random colored squares that are mostly oranges, blues, and browns, because I've got some coordinating fabric to use for sashing that's kind of like a funky stripe. So I think I'll end up with 4 quilts to donate, which is pretty good. I don't think I've got any more pillowcases. I may have a couple other placemats left. But yeah, it's just trying to clean out all these little bits and stuff because I need an overhaul in the sewing room. There's just too many piles and too much visual clutter, and it's driving me bananas. So that may be what I do tonight before the finale for the Great British Baking Show, which I know is a couple seasons old. You guys in the UK already know who has won for this season. But my daughter has been watching this with me. But they're showing two episodes tonight, and there's no way I can stay up till 11 p.m. and watch both episodes. So I think we'll watch the one tonight and then save the finale for tomorrow. Yeah, because I went to bed at 8:45 last night. I was just exhausted. I think just the physical and the mental. Admittedly, the night before, I had stayed up late reading a book. So, there you go. So all of that to say that in my Sunday stash report, I logged 13 yards for that giant Meow or Never quilt, and that went to charity. Hooray. So I'm at total used 187 and 3/4. I may have 2 quilts to log as finished this week. Definitely one. I've got one that's quilted and just needs to be bound. The other one I may get quilted and bound. And we don't have big plans for the weekend. It is my husband's birthday, but we're just doing like dinner and cake. So I have to make cake. Ooh, I have to get powdered sugar to make the frosting. Yeah. My husband does not like birthdays because he refuses to admit that he's getting older. So fine for him. Good luck with that. We're just making cake. Oh, and I gotta get ice cream. So yeah, he's mostly like, whatever the kids want to do. Mostly how we celebrate is stare at him and chant very creepily, his special day, his special day. It really adds a festive flair to the day. And the kids always try and do it when it's like my special day, so my birthday or Mother's Day, but it's never quite the same. But yeah, we're big on the creepy staring and chanting in celebration. It really adds a festive flair to the day, guys. Okay, so that was it for all the feedback. So, books. I read an amazing book, which is my favorite book of the year. And I loved it so much I Instagrammed it. So if you follow me on Instagram, you have already seen it. But it is a book called Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. It's by Gail Honeyman. It's her first book, and it was awesome. So the premise is this woman, Eleanor, has a very regimented way of going through her day. And she has things that she likes to be, you know, she wants to be particular about things. And she appears to be very closed off emotionally. But all of a sudden it strikes her as she just kind of gets this instant crush on a person. And so she decides that she needs to do things that will enable her to attract this man that she suddenly has a crush on. And so it's her going through the process of thinking, what would a normal person do? What would a regular lady do in this instance? Do I need to up my grooming game? And the book really appealed to me because there are many times in my life when something will happen and I have to think, like, how would a normal person react? And whether that's because I am undiagnosed on the spectrum or what, I don't know. I have never felt like I have appropriate emotional reactions. They are either way too extreme or I am cracking jokes at inappropriate times. My tagline is hilarious at funerals. See also aforementioned trash raccoon comment. So, I love this book. And you may be tempted to think like, oh, well, she's clearly on the spectrum, but she's not. There's been some trauma in her life that has led her to be this way. And the reveal of that, it is exploration of human emotions at this, wrapped in a mystery. It was a really engaging book and I highly recommend it. And it was recommended to me by the mother of my daughter's best friend, who is my daughter's best friend is on the spectrum. And she's like, it reminds me so much of our girls. And I read it. And I'm like, yes, it does. So I have personal reasons for loving this book, but it is an engaging story anyway. So I would highly recommend it. Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. So, and now into another curmudgeon book. Frederick Bachman, who wrote A Man Called Ove, which I have not read yet, but this is My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry. This one I appreciated, but I don't know if it is the cultural differences between my experience as a U.S. citizen versus the context of European storytelling. But it was very aware that I was reading a translated story. Just there were certain uses of language that I was like, oh, that's odd, but I get it, but it's odd. So an engaging story still, but every once in a while, the phrasing of the English language would throw me out of it. So just those of you that read native English speakers, and I think that's probably common in all of his books because they're all translated into English. So Frederick Bachman, My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry. Then I saw the news that Hugh Howey's book series, I think it's Sand, not Wool, but Sand, which is something that Katie over at Katie's Quilting Corner turned me on to, got picked up by Sci-Fi, which is a television station here in the U.S., for a series adaption, along with The Raven Cycle, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name, by Maggie Stiefvater? Stiefvater. Raven Cycle. The first book is called The Raven Boys. So I thought, well, if it's good enough for TV, then yeah, I'll give it a shot. So that one I enjoyed. I see that I didn't actually give it a rating here on Goodreads. Oh, well. So it's a YA book. It's about a teenage girl who is the only non-clairvoyant in a family full of clairvoyants. So, like, her mom is clairvoyant and can see things and tell fortunes. And, you know, aunts and cousins and various other female family members all have this kind of power. And the girl's name is Blue, not a nickname. That's her actual name. So Blue doesn't actually have clairvoyant power, but what she does do is strengthen the clairvoyant powers of those around her. So she's kind of in this weird position of like, well, I can't actually see all this cool stuff that you guys seem to be seeing, but I can make it so your powers are stronger. And so she is in this small town in Virginia, and also in the small town is this boys' school. And she kind of has this prejudice against the boys, like, no, they're just a bunch of stuck-up rich kids. But she befriends several of the boys, and this mystery kind of unfolds of like, okay, the town is on ley lines, and how does she fit in with that? And it's kind of this exploration of her friendship with these boys. At the same time, there's this whole like mystic energy thing happening. So one of those, like, it's establishing a different universe with a lot of like weird background that I didn't necessarily know. So I, it was one of those, like, this is a new world that I don't quite understand. And once you get past that, there were things I had to go back and reread. Like, I think I just missed something that vital that happened. Sure enough, I did, because of the way that I read things. Sometimes I skip over bits, and if it's not explicitly called out and hits me over the head with a hammer, then I'm like, wait, what happened? So I enjoyed it. It's an engaging story. I'm actually about a third of the way through the second book in the series now. So if you like YA and you like kind of fantasy books that are grounded in, you know, it's not like a completely foreign world. I mean, it takes place in a small town in Virginia. Check it out. So definitely engaging. And I'll probably look at more of her stuff. Again, I've said before, I like YA books because sometimes they tell good stories without being fully smutty and having a lot of harsh language. So there's that. So that was The Raven Boys. Okay, and then I also finished the third book in the Kilts and Quilts series, Some Like It Scottish. So this is adult contemporary romance. There's some quilts. There's some kilts. Actually, were there kilts? Yes, there was a kilt in this book. Set in the imaginary village of Gantigau, Scotland. And if you like books, contemporary romance books, or as I call them, lady stories, that also include quilts. Again, good series. In we've got the interview with the author, Patience Griffin, coming up on the celebrity Soft Pants Stitchin. I have to check the exact date. I think it's maybe the next one. It might be in September, so I will double check that date. But if you have missed that new series, we just had an episode drop today on our YouTube channel, our interview with Christopher Thompson, aka the Tattooed Quilter, who has an amazing Instagram feed and a new fabric line coming out with Riley Blake called Blue Carolina. He was just a lot of fun. We attended his lecture at QuiltCon on, you know, how to have good photos on Instagram, basically. And so that taught me some things. No, I haven't taken it all to heart. I think you look at my Instagram and you're like, boy, there's a lot of cats. And then every once in a while, there's a quilt picture, and the quilt pictures always get way more likes and comments than the cats, but oh well. Still gonna post cat pictures, guys. That's just how I roll. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today. I got to scoot back and take care of some more stuff. Yep. So I think, yep. Talked about that. Good to go. Fun things coming up. Signed a contract for a magazine pattern to come out next year. Signed a contract to work with a quilt pattern distributor. Well, technically Lynn signed that one for us. So, fun things coming up. A little overwhelming. Possibly my brain is just like, what? No, you should go take a nap. So, I'm going to go drink some more coffee and probably stare at my computer for a while. No, I actually have to go write a white paper outline. So, oh well. So, I got big things planned for today, guys. And then I'm going to lay on the couch and watch Nice People and Carbs tonight. The finale in the U.S. of the Great British Bake Off. So, hope you all have a great week and a great weekend, and I will talk to you all later. Quilt long and prosper. The opening music is a theme from The Stitch by Big Think Productions, courtesy of Ed and Eddie, LLC. To find out more about the podcast and listen to archived episodes, visit the website at www.hiptobeasquarepodcast.com. You can contact me, Pam, by emailing info@hiptobeasquarepodcast.com, leaving a comment on the website, or by following me on Twitter at PantsFreesia. You can also find me on Pinterest, Instagram, and Flickr as PantsFreesia. Watch my show, The Stitch, online at www.thestitchtvshow.com, and follow the show on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at The Stitch TV Show. Don't forget, it's hip to be a square.